Peppers and Avocados.
Welcome back, Doomlings. I'm Carissa, and you're listening to Apocalypse and Avocados. Today, we're diving into the chaotic world of queer friendships and why they require so much maintenance. So, Peter, do you want to take the wheel on this one?
Sure. Thanks, Carissa. Let's kick things off. I feel like, especially with lesbian relationships, I think it's exceedingly hard for you guys to maintain friendships. I think there's just a lot of competition in the lesbian dating world. How about you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially when there's a mask presenting lesbian and you guys see each other in public, there's always that one that has that like machismo attitude that's like, just because we're gay doesn't mean we're friends.
Right. And I feel like everybody, straight friends, especially when they find out that you're gay and they're like, oh, I have a gay best friend. Let's meet. You want me to set something up? And then it turns out to be like chaotic. And it's like, okay, I'm the only other gay you know. So you think that we're automatically going to hit it off. I know you've heard about this, Sean.
Oh, yeah. That happens all the time.
Yeah. And then you meet them. It's not what you pictured. They show you a picture that was from like 10 years ago when they're like muscular and jacked. And then now they're dad bod and, oh, I need to go get a beer. But I'm sure it's similar with dating lesbians.
With lesbians? Yeah, for sure. I mean, the crazy thing is, so funny thing, straight guys, they look at mass lesbians like they're dude bros, you know what I mean? Like, we're their guy friends, right? And for them, we're just another guy. So when they talk to us, sometimes they say things without realizing it's super freaking offensive. But in the same respect, it's like, how can it be offensive? Like, I think it's absolutely hilarious. But they always, always want to hook you up with somebody. Or they get pissed at you because the girl that they like actually likes the lesbian more than they like them.
That's crazy. Yeah, I've definitely seen that. It feels like you guys are always in competition, but then they want to be like close friends and like punch you on the shoulder and be like, yeah, bro, that was awesome. Did you get that chick's number?
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly how it is. But then they'll get pissed because in the same respect, they're like, they want their number too.
Yeah, they tell you all the things, like their darkest secrets. Guys are actually not, it's not that they're not complicated. It's just guys are a lot more emotional than you actually know.
Well, I've definitely learned that being a lesbian and being friends with a lot of straight men, they definitely tend to share their emotions more with me than I would see them ever sharing their emotions with a straight guy.
Yeah, and I think that Sean has a pretty good handle on this too. He has a lot of friendships, I think, that especially with women, where in my opinion, in gay world, they reveal way too much. Like, they're so comfortable with the fact that you're a gay man that they just, like, rip their clothes off. Like, I don't want to see your tits or your piercing or anything like that. It's really uncomfortable for me. I don't know how you feel about that, Sean.
I mean, I don't really have a problem with it necessarily, but I definitely can see what you're saying about the, like, overshare. I mean, I've seen pictures of my friends blowing people and stuff, which, like, I don't necessarily need to see. So,
oh, it just kind of takes you right out of the fantasy there.
That's a little much.
Yeah, and then you got the, we have friends that would just, they're like, oh, I got this new piercing. You want to see it? And then it's like full-blown cooter in your face.
Okay, wait. No, I do have something to say about that. So I did know a friend growing up, well, when I was in my later teen years into young 20s, and we used to hang out with this person. And when they would drink,
boy,
all of their clothes would come off, like bra, panties, everything. And like, we would be exposed to her bits because she would like tug on them and stuff.
Wait, why?
My God.
I think she thought it was really funny. And to an extent, it was. But looking back on it, it's also very disturbing and jarring.
I'll say.
I don't think I had any friends that did that in front of me, especially when they drink. And I have a lot of drunken stories.
This person would also, like, take their pants down and just, like, drop bend over and like show you their ass and everything. It was this person had no shame about anything show whatsoever. You your lunch.
Spring it right back there. Why? Like, how is that endowed, the word down there? Because I know that's for a man, but like, how?
Well, I don't know much about a woman's anatomy or anything, but there was something that she was able to like reach in and pull out, like back and forth.
What in the actual fuck?
In my mind, as I remember it, it was like she's squatting there and almost in like a primordial pose, like, ugh. And then just tugging like back and forth, like it's a rubber band.
What did they put in those strengths?
No shit. Were they laced with something? My God. Listen,
she really liked to drink Burnett's at the time. So maybe that had something to do with it.
So she was like full on George of the Jungling down there with her poon poon.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was fine with this.
I mean, define the word fine with it, or your definition of fine with it.
She is extremely comfortable around you.
She was fine with it.
But was it just like that you were gay, or was it just comfortable with everybody? She's free for the world.
My goodness.
It was mostly with. Oh, no. Like, I mean, cause, yeah, pretty free-ish.
Well, I'll say she's sitting there tugging her bits, as you say.
I'm still trying to pull my eyebrows out of my hairline, just saying.
Carissa, you say that nothing has happened like this to you, so do you have anything like to that equivalent?
No, my guy friends don't pull out their bits in front of me. Thank God.
But you do find that they hit on you.
Not my guy friends per se, but yes, men still hit on me, even though I'm mask presenting, especially if I go to the bar. And I don't understand this. It's almost like they see it as a challenge, I guess. I don't know. It's silly. But you know what? Hey, if I'm going to get a free drink out of it, I might as well take advantage. I'm being
free
honest.
Free mocktail.
Oh, yeah, mocktail at this point. But before, hey, I would take Bacardi, whatever you wanted to give me, and we could be friends. And then at the end of the night, I'm giving you the wrong number. Because you're not getting a hold of me.
Well, listen, this might have just been the friend group I had, though, because I had another friend, male friend, who used to love to take all their clothes off and just like flop around.
The helicopter, or the, like slapping it side to side. Yes,
the side to side.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, gays are very like open doing that, and it's jarring to say the least. It's like, it's not attractive. Why are you spinning it around like a helicopter? I don't want to see that. It doesn't do anything for me. It's not a turn on. If anything, it just looks like you're flapping around this floppy, like flaccid salami in a circle.
I'm just picturing a sausage as it's being filled, and the kids are just a long casing just going. Curling
in a spiral.
Yeah. Just like all out there.
Well, this leads me to our next topic. Ghosting. I feel like this is a big one, especially in gay world with friendships. Friendships tend to go sour very quickly. And I feel like we ghost each other and then we come back and like no time has passed. But there are many reasons why we end up ghosting each other. And some of them are just downright petty. I don't know how you two feel about that. How about you, Carissa?
I didn't have anything really petty per se happen. For me, I quit drinking. I quit drinking 9 months ago. And all of my friends and social groups, everything was based around drinking. So when I stopped drinking, I kind of withdrew from everybody. And it was more for myself than anybody else. And I don't feel like people took it personal, but I did have a lot of friends say, you know, that they reached out and said that they missed me and they missed hanging out with me. And I just kind of explained to them, like, I kind of had to ghost everybody to get my mental health in order and to figure out who I was without alcohol.
And on our end, it's a little different. Everybody knows that a lot of gays are promiscuous. So especially when it's really hard to maintain having a gay friend when you yourself are gay, because they tend to want to take it to the next level, especially when they drink. They tend to come on to you, get that liquid confidence, and it just kind of makes it awkward, especially if you refuse them. And then absolutely, you ghost them afterwards for a while. Most of the time, they don't remember. And then you come back and it's like, okay, well, we can try and get past this. And then they do it again. It's just, it's like a vicious cycle on that. How about you, Sean?
Yeah, I can definitely relate. I think that there's a lot of reasons behind why people ghost. Sometimes they are really petty. Sometimes they seem legit. But yeah, I think in the gay world, it can be a little complicated because there are so many angles to the friendships that we have. There's so many just moving pieces at all times.
I guess you're right in the sense that people can develop feelings for one another. And sometimes those feelings are unwarranted. I mean, that happens in the lesbian world, but I don't know. For me, I guess I can say that I've experienced it to an extent. But most of the time, women just want to be friends with me. And that's something that I struggle with. So I kind of don't know when somebody's hitting on me, to be honest. And I kind of feel silly when they're like, hey, I was trying to actually hit on you for the last 6 months. And then I'm like, man, I really developed feelings for you too. I didn't say anything because I didn't want to be that friend.
So at what point did you realize, did they just tell you or did they pull up the U-Haul?
No U-Haul yet.
They showed up with a cat.
I am not that Anna kind Hamster. Of lesbian. I make that very clear that I'm not a U-Haul lesbian.
It's not 2 days. It's 3 months
right.
minimum.
Right, that's right. 3 months minimum.
It's a big U-Haul. Comes with a lot of baggage. But yeah, I think that it's hard just to like bring it back. There's a story here on my end. My best friend in the entire world happens to be my ex, and Sean and him get along very well now. They bonded. However, when I first met Sean on a specific dating app, I think everybody knows what it is. We decided to go to a friend party at my best friend's house, and my best friend was very interested in Sean. And he took it as like a personal competition at that point. Now we can laugh about it because I ended up with Sean. And it was like he kind of got mad and ghosted me a little bit on that, but not to the extent of like we couldn't repair it. But it was Sean that kind of put an end to it at that point.
Calling him out for trying to play footsies with me?
Yes. We had been drinking and he was very confident and we were all very confident at that point. And he like slid his foot under the table and Sean called him out very loudly. Are you trying to play footsies with me? He got very embarrassed and withdrew. But now we laugh about it.
I mean, it's all love here, but like that didn't deter him from trying to initiate a threesome like 2 days later. So he wasn't that embarrassed.
Threesomes sound like a lot of work. It's a lot of plumbing to be maintained, so to speak. So I'm not a fan, but yeah, that's part of the reason that maintenance in the gay world happens. I feel like there are other things where it's, I don't know, it can come down to money or it can come down to another friend liking you more than they like them. Most of the time it's money.
Oh yeah, for sure. Lending money to people. I mean, you know which friends are going to be the ones to pay you back and which ones aren't. And then at that point, do you cut off the friendship because you lent them money and they didn't pay you back? Or do you just learn from it and say, nope, you didn't pay me back last time, the next time they ask?
No, you charge them interest.
I think it depends on how much money we're talking about. Is it like $20? Yeah, $20 goes, $20 doesn't go anywhere these days, but it can be a lot of money in some situations, but at the same time, maybe the friendship is more worth it. But if you're talking $500, $1,000, then yeah, I think that maybe there's some reason to cut that friendship off, or at least put up some boundaries.
Yeah, there's a $1,000 boundary between me and them now.
Very expensive boundary.
I think I'd be flattered if my friend asked me to borrow $1,000 that I certainly don't have.
I am so glad you thought I had that.
I'm so glad you think I'm rich.
Yeah, that happens in gay world a lot. It's very expensive to be gay. And it's, yeah, I mean, people have asked us for money and we give it to them. It's not like an extensive amount or exorbitant amount of money. It's like 20, 40, 50 bucks. And it's more so like, oh, I need gas to get here. And then they forget to pay you back. And then you ask them and then they, you know, they don't remember that you lend them money.
Or right. they ask you to borrow money, they don't pay you back, you just let it go, and then they message you and ask you again and say that they've never asked you to borrow money before.
I feel like this is very specific.
No names. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and I think those are a little bit of things that can cause ghosting, but I feel like everybody's in a good place with their friends right now, even if they're tugging at their bits. But you had a lot of wild parties growing up, people soiling themselves. Okay, they're shitting themselves. Let's not use the Christian word for that.
I was going to say, when did we get so politically correct over here, soiling themselves?
I don't know. I just thought it added something.
Yeah, I have some party stories, yes.
But that will be for another time.
Shit in the sink. That's all I got to say.
Oh, that's gross. But yeah, I think that leads us into the next topic is kind of like codependency in the gay world. I feel like when you have really close friends, it's easy to kind of have them around all the time and kind of just trauma dump on them when you need to, and it kind of puts a little bit of a barrier between you. But I think that's kind of something everybody goes through. It might not just be gay world.
I definitely go through that. I have a few friends that I'm very close with. There's one in particular that I definitely trauma dump on all the time, and I'm so grateful for her. She just listens and takes it with a grain of salt and then tells me, don't worry about it. I dump all my shit on you too. So it just works. But I do sometimes feel guilty for it because I feel like a crazy person. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's nice to know that we're there for each other. And even though we're unloading everything, we're both very receptive and we're like, you know what? That's what we're here for. So the friendship doesn't feel like work. It comes naturally. And I know she's going to listen to this. So she knows who she is.
Yeah, everyone just takes a trauma shit on their friends once in a while.
Yeah, what are friends for?
Yeah, but it does cause some codependency. Sometimes you can't really do much without them. They're the first person you call. They're the first person to bail you out when you go to jail. But I feel like codependency isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it does sometimes put strain on you when you're in a relationship. I don't know about how everyone else feels.
Well, I think that it can definitely put a lot of strain on any friendship or relationship, because you have to think about, as you get older, specifically when we're talking friendships here, you get busy. And if you are so codependent on a person's attention or response that you start valuing yourself or the friendship a different way because of it, just when the person is just busy and they don't mean anything by it, I think that can put strain. I think everyone is really busy these days, and we just all need to give each other a little bit of room or grace when it takes us more time to get back to people than we'd like.
Yeah. And if I'm going to save us before we go too deep into this, because we're going to all kumbaya in a second, and I'm not about that life. But yeah, let's talk about another thing, a little bit more lighthearted. How about red flags? When you have friendships, what are the like biggest red flags, especially when it's a new friend? I mean, a big red flag that I have is when they need to be around all the time.
Yeah, that is definitely irritating.
Sometimes you want to go out and have a drink and they are texting your friend that you're at the bar with. Like, big red flag. How do you even have my friend's number? Like, why are you texting now? Now you absolutely know that I'm with my friend. I couldn't run away if I wanted to.
I feel like you're talking about a specific situation. Has this actually happened to you?
I mean, it has, but it's more... Okay, so when I started dating Sean, I had a specific axe that was quite crazy, actually pulled up on our street and was sitting outside the house.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And was texting Sean, who was at the house, basically saying, I know you're with him. I know you're with him.
No, he was texting you.
Either way, he was saying, I know you're with him. And he basically, then Sean got his information off Facebook, being the crazy bitch that he is, and was texting him back and saying, I see you outside. You need to leave.
That doesn't sound anything like me.
He's like, I'm going to come out there. And then all of a sudden you see the little blue car speed off.
I remember this because this is when we all lived together.
Yes. Yep. So big red flag right there.
Big red flag, I think, is when the person doesn't understand like the limitations of a friendship or like the parameters of it. I've known some people who kind of just think that, oh, we're friends. We're going to have sex. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And it's just not what you're looking for out of a friendship. So I think sometimes people's expectations can be a red flag.
Yeah, I can see that. Another big red flag that I have is when you ask to borrow money.
Back to the money.
Money is a big factor in the world. When we start dating and you need to borrow $100 because you can't budget properly or you needed to smoke a joint more than you needed that gallon of gas, that's a problem. That's a red flag right there. You should run. That's not a friendship.
That's definitely like a relationship red flag too.
You know what else I see as a red flag? If you text someone and they immediately call you.
I hate that.
Terrible.
You know, I sent you a fucking text. Could you just reply to me in text?
There's a reason I sent a text and did not call. One, I don't want to talk to anyone on the phone. I don't want to talk to anyone on the phone.
Three, I do customer service for work. I don't want to fucking talk to anybody on the phone.
Exactly.
Yeah, that really bothers me. One, I never want to talk to anybody on the phone. I did customer service for 7+ years. And when somebody texts, and just this might be a generational thing, when somebody texts in millennial world, they are texting you for you to text them back. They are not, that was not a free open invitation to give me a call so that we can be on the phone for 3 hours while you tell me about your oral fixation with your ex. That is not something that we need to do. We are close friends, but we are not that close.
I thought of something. Red flag along the same lines. People who need to FaceTime you or video chat. I remember Peter and I spoke to somebody once, and any time that they spoke to us, within seconds of messaging us, do you want to FaceTime? Should we FaceTime? Do you want a video chat?
It's so awkward.
And then they would call without you even saying yes multiple times, and it's like, please leave me alone.
Yes. And just a segue on that, another red flag for me is tiny nipples.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
When you have baby nipples, it's weird. Like, that's not like a defining feature for me, but it really throws me off when your nipples are so tiny and you're so confident with your shirt off.
Wait, how did we get here?
that person.
Yeah, that same person. Nipples.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Red flag. Big red flag.
You know what's funny is, talking about texting and not calling, I think it's hysterical when somebody actually does call me because they should fucking know better.
Exactly.
And most of the time, my friends will text me and be like, hey, can I call you? I don't know if it goes that way for you guys, but a lot of the times my friends will text me, can I call you? I have to tell you something.
Yeah, my bestie does.
Is it a good time?
My friends don't really text me. No, I'm just kidding. No, yeah. But the only people I really have phone calls with would be like you guys and then my family. Nobody else. I don't really use the phone for anything.
Everybody else just texts.
Yeah. I have like the same three people that call me pretty much or text me as you guys.
Yeah, I get it. My best friend will text me and ask if he can call. It's probably like my annual phone call. because we just sit there, I just listen, and it's usually pretty funny, but it's usually something serious. I know that he's going through something serious at the moment, but he still finds a way to find everything funny. But he does get extremely graphic about certain situations. And I don't need to hear about the baby chode that you played with. So, yeah, big red flag there, oversharing. And another red flag, taking off your bra in front of me. I'm just saying, I had to bring it back there.
Speaking of, you know, oversharing, I was going to ask you if, well, I have gay guy friends too, obviously. I mean, outside of you guys.
No.
And they do overshare. They tell me things that, you know, as a woman who likes women, I don't want to fucking know.
Yeah, gay guys can be a little open.
I mean, great. I'm happy that, you know, you're getting some, but I don't need to know all the details.
I feel like I know what friend this is.
Yeah.
And, may I say, he just overshares about everything. It's not just you.
Okay. Well, that's, I mean, yeah, we have known him for a very long time. But sometimes I just want, it's not just him either. There's others.
Yeah, I'm sorry for everyone who's listening. No, I'm really not. But yeah, when people are talking about like rim jobs and stuff, it's like, cool. I don't want to say I'm a prude because I definitely am not. But when you're out in public, we don't need to talk about how you slept with 20 guys last night and there's a million like rim jobs going on. And we don't need to talk about where you put the whipped cream and stuff. We can do that behind closed doors where people don't look at us or hear this or oversee this conversation. And the waiter just magically shows up at the table. And how long were they standing there? Because my eyebrows have been up for like a good 5 minutes and I did not notice. You have to tip them extra because they heard all of that. So yeah, that's happened. But yeah, I'm sure that everyone's going through that. But I want to bring it back to a little bit. It's not necessarily a lighter topic. I want to talk about toxic friendships or toxic friendship stories. You may not be friends with the person anymore, but I know that there are some juicy ones out there, especially with Carissa's old friends.
Goodness gracious. I have a lot of these people in my life. let's talk about the toxic friendship that turned into a relationship that turned into me dating a married woman.
Oh, boy. That wasn't the one I was going for, but feel free. Spill the tea.
Well, I knew she was married. She had children. We worked together. Peter worked with us at the
Absolutely
company.
Not. I have disowned you now.
You know, if it weren't for Peter, we probably never would have been friends either, because Peter, believe it or not, is a social butterfly at work.
Yeah, that's very surprising, especially when you meet me in person.
Right. You think Peter, introvert all the way. Not at work.
No, I just flit around and talk to people, and then I tell them that they have two asses.
I think we're talking about the same person.
Yes, unfortunately. Feel free.
So anyway, Peter decided that it was my birthday, and we should go out to the casino. You guys remember that?
Yep.
Where did we go? Did we go to Mohegan? Yeah. So we were going to Mohegan Sun, and he's like, we never do anything for your birthday, so let's invite some people from work. He invites this girl. Fine. We're friendly. I flirted with her at work. I didn't think anything of it. She's straight. She's got a husband. She's got kids. Whatever. But I should have known when she started hitting on me, toxic, toxic, toxic.
Got the spray bottle, spray her in the face.
I should have had Lysol.
Holy water.
Yeah. I mean, there were just lots of little red flags that I just ignored because I liked her as a person and she made me feel good about myself.
That's important, but little red flags?
Big red flags.
About banners.
She was crazy.
She was crazy. Very into church, believed demons were following her. There were demons in my backyard. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Demons that could use a phone and send pictures to an email.
From Google Photos.
No shit. And pictures of my own house that you get on Google Photos. Just saying.
She was definitely nuts. And I can see where we were talking about. It did start off as a good friendship, but it quickly went downhill.
There were lies, and clearly she had some mental health issues, but, you know, I was head over heels. What can I say?
There were long car rides down the East Coast.
God, yeah, that was a long weekend.
Yeah, that was definitely crazy. But I think that you have another specific story that is quite a toxic friendship.
Which one is this one?
I distinctly remember her falling and saying we pushed her over.
The one I called Flavor of Love.
Yes.
So that can be her name, Flavor of Love.
Oh, yeah. So we had... This was years ago. This was when I was with my ex, and we had just moved into our new apartment, and we decided to have a housewarming party. And so we invited this couple over, lesbian couple, okay, that we were living with prior to getting our apartment. Now, this lesbian couple liked to drink. And when I say drink, I mean, if you ran out of booze, they were calling the bootlegger if the liquor store was not open. And somebody who was intoxicated was making a drive to the bootlegger.
The bodega's in the middle of nowhere.
But anyway, her and her girlfriend, which she proceeded to call her boyfriend several times that night, which I don't know why, they were arguing, and all of a sudden she throws herself on my living room floor, almost takes out my brand new TV, which I lost my shit about, and claims that her girlfriend or boyfriend, that's what she was calling her, hit her and knocked her down. So, I mean, yeah, let's just say we're not friends anymore.
I can't imagine why.
I am grateful that she allowed us to live with her for a few months until we got a place. I'll forever be grateful for that. But yeah, that was just too much.
I feel like I remember this night vividly, or that she heard voices, because I was sitting outside talking to Sean and she came out like saying that I was talking shit about her.
Yes. Yes, she did. That's right. Oh my God. I forgot about that.
And then she's one of those people that keep flip flopping through different, everything, different topics, burning through them. And then all of a sudden she was, I'm indigenous. And she goes, I have that good hair, as she's swinging her hair around and it's not moving. But she was basically telling me that I'm indigenous. I have really good hair. See, look at the hang time. Look at it swish, swish, swish. And I'm like, the only time it moved the entire night was when she threw herself on the floor.
Claimed domestic abuse.
Yes. She threw herself so hard, her ancestors felt it.
This is the same girl that would sit in the bathroom and scream for a beer to be brought to her, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Just making sure.
The second floor bathroom down to the first floor to her girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever.
The girlfriend's sweet, but she was terrifying.
Yeah. They're no longer together. But for obvious reasons, I mean, if my girlfriend was calling for me to get her a beer from the toilet, then I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably just walk out.
Did she throw herself down a flight of stairs and claim that her girlfriend pushed her?
I don't know. But yeah, that was definitely one of those toxic friendships that it's like, you got to be nice, because she is genuinely deep down a nice person, but alcohol got the best of her.
Alcohol and cocaine. Let's be honest. Every time I met her, she was so high she tasted sunlight. I'm pretty sure.
Or a beer from the toilet.
Yeah, she was making that fermented good in the toilet.
Oh my God.
I don't know what. She seemed like a nice person, but that might have just been the personality I met that night. But yeah, I think that everybody has a friend like that, or a friendship story like that. How about you, Sean?
I have a couple stories that come to mind when I think of toxic behaviors. Yeah, I did have a friend a while ago. There was a group of us who were friends, and we used to go over this person's house regularly. They always wanted somebody over, and they like to make things up, but they also like to tell everybody's business to everybody.
Oh, I hate those friends.
Yeah, so one day something was told to myself and another friend, and it got back to the person that it was said about, and it was found out that it was not true, which caused quite a fallout that involved like screaming phone calls and accusations of sleeping with the other one's boyfriend. And yeah, it was messy.
Let's be honest. Messy. They probably messy, messy. Did.
Okay. Not accusations. It was more like we told him that we slept with his boyfriend. So, yeah. But yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, we did.
I learned something new every day.
Yeah, we did.
Sean the reformed hoe.
More than once.
Well, clearly it was good, or it was just more like vengeance for your friend, if you can call him that.
Yeah, both.
Again, queer friendships are messy.
Yes, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, Peter and I, especially being somewhat amorous in a way, or being open to it, we've run into issues where people we have friendships with and they want to take it to another level. And then all of a sudden it gets awkward and then they ghost us. And it's like, we don't, just because we're being friends with you doesn't mean we expect to be in a relationship with you. We know that we don't think that just anybody is going to be fitting into our relationship like that. That would take time and stuff. And I think gays can be a little crazy sometimes.
Yeah, they want instant gratification. Also, just to like segue off of that, we did encounter a specific individual that was very charismatic and we enjoyed talking to him. He was a good time. And then he told us about his specific kink, which is okay. Lingerie is fine. You absolutely can do that. I don't want to yuck anyone's yum. But he decided to send us a picture in said lingerie, and he looked like a tube of toothpaste that had been squished so hard from the bottom. You know what I mean? Like, he was V-shaped.
Yeah.
So when he put the lingerie on, it was so, I don't know, I can't even describe it. He looked like, you know that caulking that you get to do on the, like on the, when you're redoing a shower in the corner and the tube on the top is like a cone.
Yeah.
And then it's like a regular tube. It looks like toothpaste all the way down.
Yeah.
He was shaped like the cone in black lacy lingerie. And then he's wearing a bra, black lacy bra. What the fuck do you need the bra for?
That was my question.
Don't forget about the almost corset that was too small. It wasn't actually a corset because obviously you wouldn't be able to get that on him. It was like a imitation corset with it was all the rolls from the bakery were coming out the sides. Like, listen, I don't have a problem. I'm not a little boy. Yeah. I'm a chunky guy. So like nothing against it. It's just like, if you're gonna present yourself, don't you want to feel good about it?
Maybe he did feel good about it.
Oh,
I didn't mean, feel good seeing it.
Yeah, and I feel bad saying that, but like, it was not a good time. We had plans to hang out with him, and we had to be like, oh, we need an excuse not to.
Speaking of ghosting,
speak to this person ever again.
I can't hang out with you, sir, because you look like a busted can of biscuits in that lingerie.
You're shaped wrong on purpose.
I cannot erase that image from my mind.
Yes. And then you like, he had tiny butt cheeks because of the lingerie.
Oh my God.
Trump ass.
Yes, exactly. And for those of you who don't know what Trump ass is, it is when your ass is concave at the bottom. Like, so you have a peachy butt on the top. And then the butt, it just goes straight down, like at almost a 90-degree angle. It's 180, so you just have like full-on bike ramp on the bottom. And then it's like cellulite, too. So you have all those like craters. Ugh. It looks like Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
That's Trump ass.
Yep. Not quite pancake ass, but if you took pancake ass and added cellulite.
If the pancakes are not completely cooked and bubbled, essentially is what you're saying.
Pancakes made with cottage cheese.
So I fully support everyone who loses weight and doesn't look like a busted can of biscuit. But pancake ass is when you lose all the weight and you were a very big guy and it had stretched out so far. And then it just looks like flapjacks because you lost all the weight.
Well, listen, while we're on the topic, it's not necessarily someone being a bigger person and being in these things. I think that sometimes people who are bigger can look very good in lingerie and different sexy items. It's just about finding stuff that fits you and actually looks good.
Presentable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Operative word, fits you.
Fits. Yeah. I think fitting is the most important element.
Yeah, I'll say. But yeah, that was definitely something I don't ever care to repeat and did lead into ghosting. And another thing is like complete turn off is when you were talking to people, like when we were open to meeting someone else. Big red flag is when they're like, there's two of you. Let's have a threesome. I'll come over. I'll fix you guys. We're not broken. Listen, we are the prize. You are just an additive. So we've been together for so long that we're not sitting here like, oh, yeah, I need a threesome. We're so broken. The best thing to do is put you in Eiffel Tower. That'll fix everything. So yeah, that's like a big red flag. Again, I am not somebody who loves threesomes. I think that they're just a lot more work than they're worth, to be honest.
Peter is also, what's the word for it?
Demisexual.
I thought it was the one where you need the, like...
emotional stimulation.
No, like, he needs some kind of intellectual connection for...
Sapiosexual?
Yeah. That.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm attracted to intelligence, but I also need some sort of, like, connection before I want to, oh, yeah, let's stick to the bedroom, sim style. Woo-hoo! Yeah, that's something I definitely need. I know that happens in lesbian world too a lot more. So I
lies just...
not from what I've heard,
not from what I've experienced.
So like, how does it go? I'm sure there's like girls that want to hook up all the time, but how many honestly want to just cooter bump when you first meet?
A lot.
Ew.
I'm not kidding when I say this, because you would think like we're women are more conservative, or I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but more like reserved, essentially. No, there are women that will send you a message and be like, hey, so what are you doing after this? Or you have that person you run into at the club that you haven't seen in God knows how long, and the club ends and they're like, hey, you promised me a dance, and you're like, yeah, well, I left. And they're like, so you want to come to my house? No, me promising you a dance was not me opening the door to a hookup at 3 a.m., just saying. But there are women that are like that. They're very forthcoming, and they just want sex, and they want to keep things casual, and that is totally not me. And
it is fine, though. Like, absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, I have nothing against it, but it's just not for me. So if you're looking for something serious, then good. I'm the person you want to call, because I need to have that intellectual connection with somebody before I can have any kind of intimacy with them.
Before you exchange bodily fluids.
Yeah, basically.
I don't need, like, I'm not trying to yuck anyone's yum, but it still throws me off. I understand how lesbian sex works. I'm just not a fan.
Well,
I wouldn't expect you to be.
Well, no shit, but
that's
still
what I was going to say. You took the words out of my mouth.
It really, like, I used to be one of those people that didn't really believe in lesbianism. Obviously, that has changed, but...
It had to. I'm your sister.
It's just the thought is so strange to me. It's so strange. I don't want to think about it. I'm done. Sorry.
Don't think about it.
I just pictured it and I'm like, so aside from toxic friends, I think there's a lot of other things that are going on in the world, especially with our specific generation. One of the things that is really grinding everyone's gears is the fact that we've decided not to have children. So population is on the decline. I think that might have something to do with the fact that we have so many codependency relationships, but we're choosing to have fur babies instead of actual babies. And I want to hear you guys' thoughts on that. Do you think it's like something that is a problem, or where do you guys stand on it? Do you want kids? Do you not want kids?
Let's be honest, they don't teach cursive in school anymore. And have you seen the way they teach arithmetic now? Where you draw a million fucking dots on a piece of paper rather than just lining the two numbers up and down on top of each other?
I'm not really sure how you change math, but they did. They changed math. I already didn't understand math. I don't understand what they're doing now.
They make a bingo chart.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. It's like, are we playing connect the dots? What's going on?
I fear for this next generation.
I mean, yeah, but why are we, why do you think we're not having kids?
I think a lot of it has to do with the price of everything and how expensive it is to have children and the fact that childcare, then having to send them to school, transportation, there's so many things that go into having a child. I would love to have kids, but in our situation, there's even more cost because it's either we have to adopt or we have to have a surrogate. And both of those things in these days are extremely expensive.
Or so, essentially a house.
Yeah. So for me, my feelings are that a lot of it has to do with finances. And also my other thought is like, I don't know that I want to send a kid into this world with everything that's going on in it right now. There's just so much crap going on, so much terrible shit. And I don't know, it seems scary to make them have to go through that without any choice.
Well, you just got a little too deep. But I'm talking about, do you think that people just want more instant gratification, or like they're just strictly hookups because they don't want any attachments? So they're not having kids because they just want to go out and play the field.
It's a little bit of both, I think. A lot of people our age, which this is sad to think, they still want to just hook up. They still want to just hook up. And it's like, what are you doing with your life? I mean, great, to each his own. But at the end of the day, why are we in our 30s and still hooking up? Let's date. Why are we dating for the fun of dating? Like, date for something serious. And I think that's part of the reason why a lot of millennials don't have children is because people are still just hooking up.
Yeah, I think for so long we were told, and when we were younger, if we got into any relationships, like, oh, you're so young, you have all this time ahead of you, you're going to meet so many people, that it kind of got to a point where we were like, oh, when things would get serious, maybe this is, I can't let this get serious. I need to meet other people. I'm young. I need, you know, I think a lot of millennials had that kind of mindset.
Or they need to focus on their career.
That too.
That's another thing. I know that I, you know, right out of high school, I went straight to college. And for me, I wasn't worried about, I mean, I had relationships, but I wasn't hyper-focused on relationships and getting married and having children. I was focused on getting my degree and then figuring out what my career was going to be first. Which now I'm 37 and I'll be honest, I don't want to have my own children just because the way the world is today.
Yeah.
And a lot of people's eggs are drying up.
Yeah, so, like mine.
that's fine. I see it as a lot of millennials don't want to have children simply just because they can be a little bit, it's okay to be selfish right now. You don't have much money. This whole presidential thing that's going on in the country, no one wants to have children simply because they probably can't afford diapers at that point. And let's be honest, the cloth ones are disgusting. Who wants to clean baby shit out of a cloth diaper and then throw it in with your regular clothes in your washing machine to have it swish around all of that fucking just baby shit that's some unnatural color like Slimer on frigging Ghostbusters. And then your clothes come out and they're a completely different color. Anyway.
I mean, I would hope they would like do a pre-clean of some sort before putting them in the wash.
Let's be honest. How thorough? How much time do you have to like swish around the friggin' cloth diaper in the sink?
I'm sorry. I'm still
stuck
on, to make
sure there's no baby peeth.
I'm still stuck on why would they throw dirty diapers in with other clothes?
You don't have the time, Sean. You don't.
You can't do separate loads. Damn it. There's only 24 hours in a day.
You can't afford the water.
They're not separating their lights and their darks. Like, there's gonna
be fine lights and darks.
I don't do that when I do laundry.
You got no time.
I don't either. Water's expensive. I used to like if I used bleach, but that's really, I feel like, the only reason to. Well, no, because hot water, you're not supposed to put your colors in hot water because it can fade them.
If there's baby shit in it, you will. That's sanitize.
Dark turn.
I also think that that's a bills thing. The cost of living is extremely high. And you simply just cannot afford the electricity to clean that baby diaper.
Or the water bill.
Exactly. The water, let alone that thing breaks and you have to like shove a wooden spoon in it to keep the washing machine from opening and then swishing shit all over the floor. I'm sorry. This is something I've really thought through, as you can tell.
Yeah, I can see that.
Babies are messy. That's why.
Essentially, Peter's not having children because he doesn't want to clean baby shit. That's what I'm getting out of all of this.
He doesn't want to clean cloth diapers and with the rest of his laundry.
I want kids, but I will not be doing the diapers. That is all, Sean. Sorry. I draw the line at shit.
Lovely.
Baby smells bad. Sean.
Baby puke. I mean.
I'm fine with puke. Like, that's fine.
I'm glad you are. You traumatized me when we were kids.
Well, having our cousin bring her child over and him projectile vomiting milk all over my refrigerator and floor, like, I don't know how this baby produced that much vomit. It was like The Exorcist. There's puddles everywhere.
The dog was trying to lick it up.
Yeah, he got it on the ceiling.
I'm glad I went home early that night.
So I'm perfectly fine with puke, but the shit, oh my God. As soon as you smell like ripe, pass it over. Pass it over, because they're cute when they don't smell.
Just give your baby away. I don't want it pooped.
This one's messy.
That reminds me, baby, on the topic of babies pooping. Oh, he's going to kill me for this, whatever. When my brother was a baby, they had him play Baby Jesus in the church play. And
oh, Jesus.
It went on for a while. And apparently when the woman playing Mary was holding him, he pooped. And I remember there was video of it, and you can see her going, like, holding her nose and waving her hand in front of it, like, fanning the smell away.
Is that considered holy shit?
Yeah, I think so.
That's amazing. I'm going to have to talk to your brother about that. Yeah, I think that millennials, just bring it back to seriousness, just can't afford it. So they're choosing to be selfish, which is absolutely fine. Take care of yourself. There's too many problems going on right now, and you need to be a little bit more reserved. It is contributing to the population decline, but that's also another topic for a later time, especially when it comes to like climate and just everything that's going on in the world that people don't believe are real. Apocalyptic events, so to speak.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a great topic. So with that, I just kind of want to wrap it up here. How about you guys? Any words of advice for our listeners when it comes to toxic friends, relationships, having babies?
Don't get cloth diapers.
Please don't.
I say don't be afraid to set up boundaries, but also give each other some grace. Don't take everything so seriously. And one of my favorite drag queens says it best, it's not that deep.
And don't tug on your bits. Yes. In front of people.
Please don't.
This story is really going to haunt me forever. I don't know how you watch that.
And please stop hitting on your gay friends.
I watched it. It happened so often. It was just like, oh, is she in the corner of the room doing it again? Oh, yep, she is.
Oh, my God.
She's in the corner of the room like a horror story, like a horror character, just pulling at whatever comes out.
Literally, one time she was on my friend's bed and she was just like,
she was making that noise.
Maybe not that noise, but she was definitely making noise of some sort. In my mind, in my memory, it was that noise.
So it's not what he saw, it's just what he heard.
I can't.
Oh, no. I that is burned into my memory. It will never go anywhere. It was very disturbing.
I hope she's listening, and I hope she's ashamed of what she's done.
And I hope that now that she's in her 30s, she does not do this at parties any longer.
If she is listening, I would assume that she's cackling hysterically.
And pulling at her bits at the same time. Oh my God. What is she pulling?
Either that
this
or
is what I'm stuck on.
Either that or I'm going to get a really angry message at some point in time soon.
If she was pulling so hard, did it come off at one point?
No,
does it grow back? Like, is she like a lizard?
I was going to say, I don't think it works that way.
But like, isn't the stuff in there sensitive? Like, how are you? Like, I don't know.
Not anymore.
Lost all feeling.
I can't. She doesn't feel it anymore.
She's just sitting there. Oh. My God. Wow. That's awesome. And with that, thank you for tuning in, Doomlings. We've laughed and we've cried, and we're probably texted our group chats at least twice during this episode. So remember, in the apocalypse, it's not about who survives. It's about who you're sharing memes with while the world burns. So until next time, just keep your friends close and your therapist closer. And with that, please follow us, subscribe if you like what's going on, leave a comment, and we're going to be releasing episodes going forward Monday and Thursday. So we're excited. Please drop us a comment, message. We'd be happy to hear from you. And who knows, you might end up on the next segment.
Yeah, and don't forget to participate in our episode poll on Spotify.
Well, thank you for tuning in to Apocalypse and Avocado. I'm Peter.
Carissa.
And Sean.
Have a good night, everyone. Hey, thanks for listening to Apocalypse and Avocados. If you laughed, cringed, or yelled same at any point, do us a favor. Hit follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you never have to miss an episode. If you really want to make our day, share this episode with a friend, or three, who needs some chaos and avocado energy in their life. Don't forget to follow us on socials for behind-the-scenes rants, memes, and questionable life advice. You'll find us everywhere at Apocalypse and Avocados. Seriously, your support keeps us going and might even save us from being replaced by podcasting robots. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.